Welcome to the Notion of You. I'm Tashi Jones, storyteller, guide, and your gentle reminder to slow down and come home to yourself. Before we go anywhere today, I want you to do something with me. Take a deep breath, not a rushed one, but a real one. Let your shoulders drop, because chances are they've been up near your ears for a while now. And you didn't even notice. Let your jaw unclench. Let your hands go soft. Just for a moment, let this be the only thing you're doing. I know you've got a lot going on. I know there are all those tabs open in your brain, the literal ones, the mental ones, the to-do list that never quite empties, the decisions you've been circling on for days, possibly weeks. That quiet, nagging feeling that you should already know what to do by now. You are safe here. This is your time. I want you to think of this podcast like two friends grabbing coffee. There's no agenda, no performance, just honest conversation. The kind where you can say, "I don't know," and nobody flinches. The kind where you can leave feeling more like yourself than when you sat down. Today's episode is for the woman who is tired of making decisions from a place of anxiety, who has made the logical choices but still felt wrong inside, who second guesses herself, not because she's weak, because somewhere along the way she stopped trusting the part of her that actually knows. We're going to talk about that today, about your body, about the wisdom that lives beneath your neck, about what it feels like to make a decision from a place of calm instead of panic. Let's soften the pressure around making the perfect choice and start making the real one. Let's begin. I want to take you back to a version of me that I know some of you are going to recognize. She was young, impressionable. She had spent so much of her life pushing every feeling down, tucking it underneath, quieting it, pretending it wasn't there, that she generally didn't know what it felt like to trust herself. When it came time to choosing a college, I had applied to a number of schools. And somewhere in that process, someone close to me made it very clear which one they wanted me to pick. There was this pressure, urgency. There was that tension that makes you feel like you're walking on a tightrope. Like one wrong move and everything will fall apart. So I shut down. I stopped listening to whatever was stirring inside me, and I chose what they wanted. I followed their urgency instead of knowing my own. I told myself it would be fine. It was not fine. I did 1 year there, and I was miserable. Not because the school was bad, but because it wasn't mine. I'd handed my decision over to someone else's fear, someone else's vision. But I was the one who had to live it. That's what it feels like to make a decision from a body that's been silenced. And it's not just a bad outcome. It's a deep, quiet wrongness that you carry with you every single day. Fast forward, it wasn't too long ago. I'd been doing a ton of healing work, the kind that asks you to look at the stories that you've been carrying. The ones that were never really yours to begin with. One of the heaviest ones I'd been sitting with was this belief that my worth is tied to my output, that I was only as valuable as what I produced, what I performed, what I could prove. One morning, I sat down and I had a conversation with God about it. About self-worth, about what I was actually carrying and what I was finally ready to put down. I left that quiet time knowing something that I hadn't fully realized before. That I was worthy simply because I am. Not because of what I do, not because of what I deliver, just because. I had no idea what was coming next. But later that day, I was in a situation where someone was trying to define my worth at a lower value than what I knew it to be. And something in me, the part of me that had just been in the room with God in prayer, it went still instead of frantic. I asked some questions. I gave a little bit of pushback. And then ultimately I made my choice. I chose not to accept it. I chose to move in a different direction. Here's what I want you to hear. It almost didn't even feel like a decision, because the work that I had done that morning had already given me the answer. God had showed it to me in that quiet space before the pressure ever arrived. This is the difference. It's not logic. It's not urgency. Preparation in the body before the moment demands anything of you. So let's talk about what actually happens inside your body when you're trying to make a decision. I think a lot of us have been taught that decision-making is a brain activity. You make a list of pros and cons, you think through it logically, you consult someone smarter, someone more experienced, someone who seems like they have it together, and you pick the most reasonable options. And sometimes that works. But I think you know, because you probably wouldn't be here if you didn't, that the most reasonable option and the most right option are not always the same thing. And that the most logical choice can still leave you awake at 3 a.m. wondering if you made a mistake. What I now understand is that our bodies collect data our entire life. Every experience you have, every moment that felt safe or unsafe, every time you were told to be quiet or made yourself smaller, your nervous system stored all of that. And when you're faced with a decision, your body is already sorting through that data before your brain has even formed a sentence. The problem is that most of us have never been taught to listen to it. There's something I want you to understand about your nervous system, and I'm going to try and say it the plainest I know how. When you are in fight or flight, when your body feels threatened, rushed, pressured, overwhelmed, your brain narrows. It goes into survival mode. It stops being able to see the full picture. It can only focus on that immediate threat, which means every decision you're making from that place is being made with a fraction of your actual capacity. It's not a character flaw, but biology. So when I was that teenager being pressured into a college decision, my nervous system was in survival mode. I was walking on eggshells. I was flooded with fear. A fear of the future, fear of disappointing someone, fear of getting it wrong. My body had shut down completely. And from that shutdown place, I made a shutdown decision. Not because I was weak, but because no one told me that the quality of my decision was directly connected to the state my body was in when I made it. When you're in fight or flight, the decisions that feel urgent, binary, like you have to choose the right one right now, that there are only two options and one of them is wrong. And if you pick the wrong one, everything falls apart. That's not clarity. That's your nervous system trying to protect you. In contrast, think about what calm feels like. When your body is regulated, when you feel safe, grounded, present, your brain actually opens up. You can hold more information. You can see options that you couldn't before. You can feel the quality of a choice, not just the logic. That morning that I spent in prayer before my meeting, that was trying to lower my worth, that was nervous system regulation. That was me getting grounded before the storm arrived. And when that storm came, I wasn't swept away this time because I already had found my solid ground. I want to give you something practical, something you can actually use next time you're standing at a crossroads. Your brain is spinning. You don't know what to do. I call it the body check. It's simple, but don't let that fool you, because simple is not the same as easy. And simple is not the same as ineffective. So here's how it works. Step one is pause before you respond. And this is the hardest part for most of us, because the world and the people in it often demand immediate answers. And we've been trained to comply. But I want you to practice giving yourself permission to say, let me sit with this for a moment. Because you don't owe anyone a decision that's made in panic. Step two is noticing your breath. Before you do anything else, just notice what your breath is doing. Is it shallow? Is it held? Is it caught somewhere in your chest? Your breath is the fastest indicator of your body's state. If you're barely breathing, you're not in a place to make a clear decision yet. Take three slow, deep breaths, not performative ones, but real ones, where the exhale is longer than the inhale. This signals your nervous system that you are safe, that the threat, perceived or real, does not require you to flee or fight right now. Step three is drop your shoulders, your chest, and your gut. Let your shoulders fall away from your ears. Place a hand on your chest if that helps. And then, without judgment, just notice what's there. Is there a tightness? A kind of bracing, like you're waiting for something to go wrong? That is your body saying, not yet. This doesn't feel safe. Or is there a softness, an openness, a settling? That is your body's way of saying, this feels like mine. And step four is ask a question. This isn't the question of what should I do. That question keeps you in your head. Instead, ask, does this feel open or closed? Maybe heavy or light make more sense to you? Don't confuse this. Open and light does not mean easy. Because sometimes the right choice is the scary one. But it carries a different quality than the choices that make you feel heavy and contracted, like you're bracing for impact. Closed and heavy doesn't always mean wrong either. Sometimes it's grief, resistance to change. And that's worth noticing too. But it's data. Your body is giving you data. And you get to include that data in your decision-making process. This is not about bypassing wisdom or reason. It's about adding a layer of information that you've probably been ignoring your whole life. Now, because I love Notion and building a system that supports your growth, I want to share how we actually track this. I have a page called My Decision Clarity. And every time I'm sitting with one of these significant decisions, I open it up and I start to notice and log 5 different things. The choice that I'm considering, the body sensations that I've noticed as I've sat with it, the emotions that are underneath all of these sensations, what step I ultimately chose, and when the time comes, the outcome. And I want you to hear why this matters. Most of the time we make a decision, we move on, and we never look back. We don't connect the dots between how we felt in our body before we chose and how things unfolded after. So we never build the evidence that our body's signals are trustworthy. This log is how you can start to build that evidence so you can start to see the patterns. You'll notice that the decisions you make when your body feels open tend to lead you somewhere good. Maybe not easy, but right. And the decisions that you made from that tight, contracted survival mode place tend to cost you something. You're not looking for perfection. You're looking for pattern recognition. You're building your own case to file in your intuition. And here's what happens when you do that long enough. You stop second-guessing yourself so much. Not because you've never made a wrong turn, but because you've gathered enough evidence to know that when you slow down and check in, your body is usually pointing you somewhere real. One more thing, and then we'll move on to how to actually practice this. I want you to partner your check-in with something physical. I tend to use my oils here, like frankincense or cedarwood, something grounding that pulls me back into the body. I like to put it on my wrists and take 3 slow, deep breaths, feeling that scent, how it moves through me, letting it be a signal. A kind of cue that tells my nervous system, we're going inward and we're listening now. It's small, but these rituals matter. Repetition matters. When you create a consistent sensory cue for a practice, your body starts to respond to that cue alone, and that becomes part of your regulation. You're allowed to make it that simple. You're allowed to make a choice in a body that feels safe. Ultimately, I don't want this to become something that you listen to, feel good about, and then forget by the time you've moved on. I want this to land in your body. I want it to become something that you actually do. So here's your practice. Just one thing. Think of that decision that you've been postponing. This doesn't have to be a big one, not the life-altering, everything-on-the-line kind of decision, but something you've been circling around, something that's been sitting in the back of your mind with a quiet question mark attached to it. You know the one I'm talking about? Now, before you go anywhere else with it, I want you to run through the body check we talked about. Find a quiet moment, even just 5 minutes, put your phone down, grab your oils if you use them. Take 3 slow, intentional breaths. Let your shoulders drop. Let your jaw go soft. Bring that decision to mind. Not to solve it, not to try and force an answer out of you, but just to sit with it, to notice it, to notice your body when you're feeling it. Is it heavy or light? Is it open or closed? Is there a tightness in your chest? Or is there something that almost feels like a quiet yes underneath? Just notice. That is the whole practice. And then when you're ready, open up your app, get your decision clarity page, and log what happened. The choice you were sitting with, what you felt, what were the emotions underneath? You don't have to have the answer yet, because the log is not about resolution. It's about paying attention. Here's what I know now. The woman who learned to trust themselves don't arrive there by thinking harder. They arrive there by listening more, by creating small, consistent moments of checking in and honoring what they heard. This is how you build self-trust, one body check-in at a time, one logged evidence at a time, one small, grounded choice at a time. You've got this. I'm going to leave you with this, something you can carry long after this episode ends. You are allowed to trust how your body responds. Not just your brain, not just the logic, not just the opinion of whoever is standing in front of you with urgency in their voice and an agenda on their hands, but your body, the one that's been with you through every single thing and survived. The one that knows things your mind hasn't caught up with yet. That version of me, the teenager who walked on eggshells and handed her decision over to someone else's fear, she didn't know that yet. I have so much compassion for her because no one had ever told her that her body was a source of wisdom, not just a source of feelings. But now you know, and that changes things. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to make the perfect decision or get it right every time. You just have to start listening. Start slowing down long enough to ask, does this feel open or closed, heavy or light? And then have the courage to honor what you hear. Before you move on with your day, I want to invite you to do one more thing. Share what you've noticed in your body during this episode, during your practice, during the decision you've been circling around with one safe person. Write it in your notes, just somewhere, because the things we begin to name, we trust. Thank you for being here. Thank you for choosing yourself enough to press play today. I'll see you next week.